I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Spiritual things are real. Just like you can be weak in your body or strong in your body, you can be weak in your spirit. Are strong in your spirit. The scripture says in Proverbs, in the Amplified, it says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him, even in bodily pain and trouble. What will get you through tough times? A strong spirit. And a strong spirit is a spirit that's strong in God, that's strong in faith. But it's not just that some people are born strong and others are not, and we don't know why. No, it's like even your body has to be strong. It has to be fed, and it has to be fed something with some good nutrition. Yes. And it has to be exercised and used. And if it is used, and like with lifting weights, if you keep adding some extra resistance and extra load, well, the muscles respond by getting bigger and stronger. Well, that's the way your spirit is. Instead of, complaining and griping about challenges in life, God's plan is that we grow stronger and overcome and use them to develop on. Right? Well, this is pretty heavy. Well, get bigger. Is that right? Get bigger. Get stronger. The greater one is inside you. Amen. Hallelujah. And you and I should be developing, and we can be, and all of us at Faith School are.
Amen.
Father, we thank you so much that you're doing this with us. You're working in us and through us and for us. Quicken us further today. And minister to us of your good things, your good word, your good spirit. We ask for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Look again, please, to the 23rd Psalm, Book of Psalms, the 23rd. And let's continue in our study of faith for provision. We're in the process of giving 30 rock-solid reasons, scripture reasons, why we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement. It's an all-encompassing statement. But what I'm saying is, it's not my opinion. It's not somebody else's opinion. It is Scripture. And we're giving you multiple scriptures for every one of these. The Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And you'll find that feeding on the word like this, like we said, whatever you feed your faith in, whatever area, and you use your faith in that area, it gets stronger. It develops. If you never hear anything about it and you never use your faith, well, you'll be weak in that area. And I mean, all of us are stronger in some areas than others, all of us. And so what you'll see, like we're feeding our faith on, the word about provision and God's provision, reason one, reason two, reason three, four, five, six. After a while, it starts pushing unbelief out of you. It starts, your faith begins to fill up. And it starts pushing out questions, doubts, wavering, wondering, and fear, and worry, and, reason 11, 12, 14, 15, 19, 22. And after a while, you should go, I'm fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded that it is God's will for us to have abundant provision all the time.
Amen.
All of us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So if you're not quite there, hang on. Hang on. We're just at reason number three. Our first one was, the Lord is my shepherd, my good shepherd. I shall not want, I shall not lack. The second one was, the goodness of God. Abundance is good. Lack is bad. And the third one here is the fatherhood of God. He is our Father. And He is not some strange father that's nothing at all like a good earthly father. He gives us that terminology for us to understand who and what He is. We wouldn't even know what a good father is except revelation from Him and the gift of good fatherhood from Him. Look with me, if you would, in Timothy, 1 Timothy 5, we saw that every good gift comes from Him and that He never changes. We saw Jesus saying in Matthew that if a natural father would not give a rock to his son when his son wanted bread, or a snake to his child when the child wanted fish, he said, if you then, being evil, being natural, not knowing everything, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, He didn't say, I'm different from that. He's comparing. He says, how much more will your Father which is in heaven give good things? Not bad things. Good things. He's a good Father. He gives good things.
Amen.
We saw in Luke where He said, your Father knows you need these things. So we need to just put that to bed and to rest. You hear people say, well, we don't really know. I mean, I think I need money to pay my bills, but you know, God may have a different plan. That's junk. That's confusion. It's not from God. God, Jesus said the Father knows you need it.
Yes.
That's good enough for me,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Then I need it. Then I also know I can count on Him to meet those needs. If he said, I need it, I need it. 1 Timothy 5. Let's look at this comparison further. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. He said, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Infidel is unbeliever. If the natural parent and father doesn't provide for their own, the scripture says it's a denial or a refusal of the faith. The faith describing the whole thing. We live by faith and our whole entire life and walk by faith that is following Christ, that's in Him. That if we ignore that and deny that, in this case, worse than an unbeliever. Why? Because there's a lot of unbelievers that take care of their kids.
Yeah. That's right?
Right? Right? Now, if what some people say is true, then there's justification what some people call deadbeat dads. Well, you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
People have there's a slogan that people use, deadbeat dad. What does that mean? It's a dad that's not in the home or not in the same state or country, but is supposed to pay child support and doesn't. Well, if God chooses not to support us, to teach us some things, well, then fathers who don't support their families would be justified. Right?
Yes.
You've had to say, I know I'm supposed to send you some money, but in my wisdom, I know that if I don't, it'll help you more. You'll learn that life is hard and you'll learn how to deal with it and it'll make you a better person. So I'm really helping you by not helping you. Now you're laughing about that, but that's how much sense it makes to accuse God of wanting you to be poor. That's exactly how much sense that makes. It would be inconsistent It'd be contradictory to everything we know about fatherhood, right?
Yeah.
For God the Father to look at us and go, I know you've been asking for help, and I know I could do it, but I just don't want to. It's my will. I know it's hard on you, but you're going to learn some things by getting kicked out of your apartment. You know, by them repossessing your car, you're gonna draw closer to me, and it's going to, you know, we're going to have a father-son bonding thing, father-daughter. Well, then what's wrong with a deadbeat dad? Right? Why are you finding fault with that? And if you say, well, it's just more complicated than that. You know, God's not like us. Well, then you are contradicting this, because Jesus said he is that way.
That's right.
Right? You use father to understand him. And is God a God who says, do what I say, but not what I do?
No.
Is he?
No.
How is that right? How's that just? How's that a good example? No. No. In fact, you know, the Bible said that we are to be in Ephesians 5:1. Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye followers of God as dear children. The NIV says it this way, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. I had somebody thought they were reproving me one day. They said, well, you're just trying to act like Jesus.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, that's the idea. I thought that was the idea.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do you know of anybody else I should be trying to act like that's a greater, better example? And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Mm.
Right?
Amen.
So was Jesus acting just like the Father? When you heard Jesus speaking, you're hearing the Father. When you're seeing Jesus do things, you're seeing the Father. Did you ever see Jesus take food away from somebody?
No.
Huh? No. Did you ever see Jesus put sickness on somebody?
No.
Never. Not one time. Did you ever see Jesus tell somebody that came to him for healing and deliverance, no, I'm sorry, you're one of the unlucky ones, that it's not God's will? Never, never, never. We see where it says thousands came and all of them were healed. He healed them all.
Amen.
Now in a crowd of 10, 20, 30,000, you mean, surely there's got to be some rascals in there. Is that right? You know, just some knuckleheads that don't deserve, right? And they just have been mean and everything else. But not one time did the Lord go, not you. No, I'm sorry. Not you. Not you. And the reason I say that, because people believe that sometimes it's his will, sometimes it's not his will. We just don't know. But in order for something to be scriptural, you need scripture for it.
Amen.
And you don't have one scripture.
Amen.
For Jesus, or Peter, or Paul, or any of the apostles or prophets in the New Testament disciple telling somebody, I'm sorry, but we've prayed and God has revealed, we don't understand it in this life, but he's ordained that you be born poor like you are, and I know it's a terrible struggle, but you'll understand it better later, and you just need to, you know, live the life that God chose for you. No, what has happened in many cases where you see abject poverty, drought, collapse of families and governments and economies, you'll see that their parents and their parents before them and their parents before them, sometimes generations before, forsook God.
Mm.
Left God and even replaced him with other gods. That they still, and people celebrate and say, oh, it's their culture, you know, they have Jabba Jabba God and this a God and that a God, and you need to respect their beliefs. No, I do not.
That's right.
No, I can't. If I respect their beliefs, I'm disrespecting the Word. I'm disrespecting my God. Because
right.
He's big on no other gods. He's very, very big on this. I mean, there is no exception where this is concerned. And what's sad, the reason I'm saying it, because what's sad is when the parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and whatever have forsaken God, it's the innocent ones that suffer. They're born into a godless, faithless, and when you worship other gods, demon-filled. There are evil spirits involved when you worship other gods. And you know what the devil does? He steals, he kills, and he destroys. And when you see abject poverty, destitution, destruction, and death, you're looking at the devil's work. You're looking, and sometimes he's been able to just keep doing it and keep doing it generation after generation. And no government can fix that. Education can't fix that. There's not enough money in the world to fix that. The only fix is turning to God.
Amen.
I said turning to God. And when a nation turns to God, you're going to see a nation turn around.
Amen.
You'll see God show up.
Yes.
You'll see Him. And things can change. I mean, He turns deserts into gardens.
Amen.
He does. He takes those from the dunghill and sets them with princes.
Amen.
He delights in doing it.
Yeah.
But you can't reject Him. You can't forsake Him and have that happen. Here He said, let me read this in another translation. The Mace New Testament says, "He that takes no care of his relations, especially those of his own family, has renounced the faith and is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever." Is this true or not?
Yes.
Should it be a priority that parents take care of their children?
Yes.
Should it be?
Yes.
Is this confusing?
No.
Is there sometimes exceptions where it's okay to forsake them? Because God told you to. He told you it was okay.
No,
He didn't. No, He didn't. Because that's not Him. How many remember the scripture said, I'll never leave you.
Yeah.
I will never forsake you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can we count on that?
Yes.
Somebody said out loud, God is my Father.
God is my Father.
He's a good Father.
He's a good Father.
He's a faithful Father.
He's a faithful Father.
He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Does that include you having something to eat?
Yes.
Having something to wear?
Yes.
Having a place to stay and live? Yes. All of that's part of that. The Weymouth New Testament says it like this. If a man makes no provision for those dependent on him, and especially for his own family, he has disowned the faith and is behaving worse than an unbeliever. Why? Because like we said before, there's a lot of unbelievers take care of their kids, right? They don't even believe God exists. They're atheists. They're agnostic or some other thing. But they're big on taking care of their babies, right? Taking care of their kids. And so if you say for whatever mixed up reason that you're not or that God doesn't, that's completely denying what the faith is and who God is and who our provider is. Look in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, 14. He says, "Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I'll not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, or what you have, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Is God our parent?
Yes.
Is He our Father?
Yes.
Well, when you see this word, "if any provide not for his own," that word "provide" and that word "provision" is actually two words, "pro" and "vision." And it is, "pro" is before, and "vision" is seeing. And so provision is anticipating the need before you get there. and providing the supply before you need it.
Amen.
Is God that way?
Yes.
Is He the provider?
Yes.
He is. At some point we'll talk about some of His names. One of His names is El Shaddai.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that includes the idea of giving you everything you need, so nourishing you and supplying you. And God, you know, on the mount with His son Isaac, found out that God was Jehovah Jireh. And that actually has to do with this very thing. Jehovah Jireh has to do with the God who sees ahead and provides. The God who sees is one literal definition of that. Well, how can that be translated to God who provides? Well, what is provision? It's before seeing. And this is something that we need to be strong on. If we're believing on the Lord, we're endeavoring to follow Him, we will never come to a need that God hasn't already provided for.
Hallelujah.
And already set in motion. And if we're on the track we're supposed to be on, we will intercept provision at every juncture because God has it there. He has laid it up for us. Nothing takes Him by surprise. When you find out, oh, that's a big bill, I'm going to have to pay that in 30 days. You go before God and you say, God, I got this big bill. Never does He go, Michael, Gabriel, what's the deal with this? Where did this come from? Are you joking? No. He sees the end from the beginning. And if you're doing His things, now if you're doing your own thing, that's another deal. You got to work out your own provision. You don't want to do that. That's going to be a losing battle. But if you are on His track and on His path, you never have to think twice about, will we have what we need? God has already seen it, already located it, already moved it in that direction. You know, on the mount where Abraham got the revelation of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees, he had told his son, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide Himself a sacrifice before it happened. And you remember when the angel said, stop, stop, before he offered Isaac. And they turned around, a ram, his horns caught there in the bush. And I thought, where was that ram yesterday? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you talk about strategic. You talk about timing. That ram is at the right place at exactly the right time, right?
Yes.
Well, how did he get there? How did he get there? Because of Jehovah Jireh,
yes.
The Lord who sees ahead, provision. Sees ahead before seeing and before providing. The numerous words, providence, you know, is one of those words that means the same thing. So what does that mean? It means God knew His man, Abraham. He knew what He's going to do. He knew. He'd already settled it in his heart. He's going through with it. He knew He'd have to stop him. He knew that he'd need another sacrifice. So I don't know if it was day before, 2 days before, 4 days before. That ram is just doing his ram thing, meandering around, eating some grass, hanging out on the rocks, drinking some water, having fun. And all at once he just thinks, I need to go this way. So he goes this way. And then for some reason he just goes, I need to head on up a little higher. And so he keeps going up. And the Lord is moving him even though he doesn't know. And Abraham doesn't know. And Isaac doesn't know. God is moving him so that when they need him, he's there.
Amen.
Exact right spot. Exact right time. Somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
Is he still the same today?
Yes.
Is he the same for all of us? Is he a respecter of persons? Abraham was his favorite, but you couldn't count on that kind of thing. No. He doesn't play favorites, and he never has changed, and he never will. So if he's your father, You can count on this just like he had provision. Somebody said out loud, he is my Father.
He is my Father.
He takes care of me.
He takes care of me.
He sees ahead.
He sees ahead.
And provides the supply.
And provides the supply.
So that I am never,
in lack.
I always have everything I need. Because he is faithful. To provide. He said the children ought not lay up for the parents, but the parents are to lay up for the children. Well, if the father's not going to do that himself, it'd be wrong for him to tell us to do it and tell parents to do it. He has laid up for us every manner of good thing. He said, I'll very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And you see, Paul had said this by the Spirit of God to some of these individuals. He said, though you have many instructors, you don't have many fathers. He said, I'm the one that I'm going to paraphrase here, that led you to the Lord, got you born again. And so you may have a lot of instructors, but there was only one that helped you with that. Of course, he knows God is their father. But you hear that fatherly feeling and sentiment and heart coming through with him right now. He says, even if you decide you don't like me anymore, I'll gladly spend and be spent for you. Why? Because a father, a good father, a right father, loves their children.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Has there ever been a better father than the great Father God,
no.
The creator of the universe?
No.
Does he care when you're hurting?
Yes.
The Bible said he's touched with the feelings of your infirmities and your weaknesses. I like what the Bible said in the 91st Psalm. He said, I will be with him in trouble. And a lot of people stop right there and they got a picture of God watching you while you spiral around the drain going, I'm here, don't forget. I'm here. No. I'll be with them in trouble. He goes on to say, and I will deliver him.
Amen.
Yes.
And he said, I will honor him.
Yes.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
I'll be with him. I will deliver him. I will honor him. Set him on high because he's known my name and trusted in him. Woo.
Hallelujah.
He's a good daddy.
Yes.
He's a good father.
Yes.
Somebody say, you are my father.
You are my father.
Forever father.
Forever father.
Forever family.
Forever family.
And I will always,
always
be abundantly provided for.
Abundantly provided.
Because you have seen to it. And provided it beforehand. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Our time's up again. Come back tomorrow. We'll see more here in Faith School.
I've got a victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.